Thank you, Brother Rayleigh. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Psalms 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. As you can see, there are several empty places in our church tonight. There is a stomach virus that's going around among many of our people. And I want you to pray for one another and pray for those that are out that have it. And if you get it, would you please stay out till you get over it? And don't call the preacher and ask him to come visit you while you've got it, okay? I love you. But pardon me, I ain't coming. Mrs. Smith and I Thursday afternoon were out visiting, and we rang the doorbell, and this dear lady came to the door, and as women do, you know, the first thing they did when the door was open, they started to hug one another, and then my wife stopped and said, "Are you sick?" And she said, "Yes." And I backed up. I don't want the stuff, and I don't want you to get it. But if you do get it, would you be selfish on that occasion only and just keep it? All right. Have you found your place in Psalm 37? Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we'll read the first 9 verses just to get us started in the message tonight. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now, I want you to listen at this Psalm of David and the instruction and help he's giving us for our Christian life. I can't tell you how many people I deal with that are fretting because of others doing wrong. Well, I can't change them, but I can take care of me. Don't spend your time fretting because of evildoers, and don't be envious against the workers of iniquity, wanting to do what they're doing or wanting what they're getting for their season of sin. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. We'll leave off reading there. Now I want you to notice verse number 7 for our message tonight. Just the first four words, rest in the Lord. Now when you get my age, rest is important. It becomes more important every day. But the rest I'm talking about tonight is not sitting down in a chair and putting your feet up in a reclining position. I want to talk tonight for a little while about resting in the Lord. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message with all my heart. I want to be a blessing and a help to our people, to your people. Not only those who are here, but those who will be listening by a CD later on, or those that will be listening on the internet. Lord, let me be a help and a blessing to them through the message and the truth that we shall preach tonight. Now fill me with thy spirit and help me to speak with power. Help me, Lord, to make interesting what's being said and help me say it enthusiastically. Now, Lord, tonight you know our needs. You know where we are in our own Christian walk and those things that we're dealing with or battling in our own life. Help us to learn to rest in the Lord. We pray for those that are not here tonight because of some kind of physical ailment. God, would you touch them and heal them and raise them up. And I pray especially for those that are not here because their sickness is spiritual. They're backslidden. They need to get right and become faithful to your house. I pray for our new Christians, our new members, that they will understand how important it is to be in God's house every time the doors are open unless sick or providentially hindered. Now, Lord, do a work in our hearts. We'll thank you in Jesus' name for what you shall do and accomplish tonight. For it's in Christ's name I ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 37 is unlike most of David's Psalms in that there's not a word of prayer or praise in it. This psalm is a teaching psalm. It teaches the child of God how to live a happy and victorious life as a Christian. In fact, in this psalm, David gives us 9 statements that would help any one of us to live a happy and victorious Christian life if we'd obey and practice them on a daily basis in our life. I want you to look at these 9 simple statements. Verse number 1, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't go around worrying and fretting all the time. Learn to, and number 2, verse number 3, trust in the Lord. Then verse number 4, delight thyself in the Lord. Boy, it'd be great if we could develop that in our Christian life. I don't have to come to church. I get to come to church. There's a big difference in the way we look at it. I don't have to read the Bible. I have the privilege of reading the Bible. I don't have to pray. I have the opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't have to live a separated life. I get to prove my love to my Savior and my Lord. So delight thyself in the Lord. Then verse number 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Too many of us are talking about what we're going to do and what we're planning to do when we ought to be praying, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And then, Lord, help me to do it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And then verse number 6, rest in the Lord. Verse number 8, Baptists need this, cease from anger. Oh, you let a Baptist get hurt or disappointed by somebody else in the church, and they ruin their Christian life because they get angry, and the anger turns to hatred, and the hatred to bitterness, and bitterness is a cancer that cancels out their joy and victory and the power of God in their life. Cease from anger. Here's one Baptist needs, verse 27, depart from evil. Now, evil is not sin, but evil is sin that's designed to hurt somebody else. Depart from evil. Verse 34, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I think we could look at that a couple of ways. Number one, don't get ahead of Him. Don't try to outrun the Lord in your life. Wait on Him. Follow Him. I think we could use it another way. Wait on the Lord like a waiter at a restaurant waits on the person. He serves that person. Let's be busy serving the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Now, the only way I know Baptists take that verse is they sit down and do nothing, and you ask them, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. That's not the connotation that God would have us to follow here in the Scripture. And then, verse 37, mark the perfect man, the mature man, the spiritual man. You say, what does that mean? Take notice of him and use him as a hero in your life. Use him as a role model. Quit following the Hollywood fads and fools and fakes and frauds. Mark the man that walks with God, that lives right. Make him the role model. Make him the example, the pattern. Forget about the baseball player and the football player, the country singer, the pop singer. Forget about them. Look for an example in God's house of someone who's doing it right in their daily walk, in their marriage, in raising their family. I've got to get to my message. Tonight I want to focus on the verse, on verse 7 for our message, where David says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Now the word rest, as used in our scripture here, means to cease from struggles, to quit whining, to live in peace, to be silent and trust God. Rest in the Lord. Let me say that again. To cease from struggling. Isn't it amazing? At the struggles we have trying to live for God, and the reason we have struggles is because we're trying to make ourselves do it and we don't want to. We want to hold on to the world and hold on to the sin. Multitudes are going to die and go to hell because they struggle every day with a matter of salvation. They can't believe that Jesus paid it all. Rest in the Lord. Cease from struggles. Quit whining. Live in peace. Be silent and trust God. I want to point out four simple thoughts tonight in reference to our subject, resting in Christ. Number one, the lost sinner must come to rest in the Lord for his salvation. Our salvation is not dependent upon our struggles and our victories with sin or how we conquer sin. That's not what our salvation is about. Some of you live in doubt about your salvation because you have a sin in your life you've not overcome. And you think, surely because I haven't overcome that sin, I'm not saved. Well, salvation is not dependent upon how many sins you overcome in order to be saved. Salvation is coming to that place where we stop struggling with a matter of salvation and believe that Jesus Christ paid it all. He died for our sin. He struggled on Calvary and won the victory over our sin as far as our salvation is concerned. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. We're not saved because of having to struggle to do good works in order to make it to heaven. Oh, if the lost sinner is ever going to be saved and enjoy his salvation, he's got to cease from his struggles and put his rest, his trust, his dependence completely in Christ. All the struggles and the works necessary for a sinner's salvation was performed by Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary for us. How dare any one of us think that Jesus didn't do it all and we can add something to it? Oh, the songwriter said it right when he said, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain and He washed us white as snow. If you try to obtain salvation by your own struggles and works, you'll never know peace. You'll never know rest. I deal with people that every time they see me, they ask me the same questions because they're struggling up here and in here about the matter of their salvation. They've never come to grips with the fact that Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. If salvation depended upon me struggling to the point where I became perfect and could receive it, I would never have it. So Jesus paid the price for us. Jesus struggled in my place and purchased the victory. If you want to obtain salvation by your own struggles and works, you'll never know peace and rest. I said it again. We have no problem knowing that we're sinners. And we have no problem knowing where we're struggling with certain sins. But that's not going to determine whether or not we're saved or not because we're conscious of our sins. If we're going to have peace in the matter of salvation, then we've got to put our trust, our sin, our faith, our dependence upon Jesus Christ and rest in Him and Him alone. If Jesus cannot pay for my salvation and provide my salvation, there's not one chance in 10 billion then I could be saved. Nor could you. Rest in the Lord when it comes to salvation. Like a drowning man who wants to be saved from a watery grave, he's got to cease from his struggle. He must stop trying to save himself, thrashing around in the water, and rest in his rescuer. When I was in the Navy and went through life-saving training in the water, they taught us if the guy was not willing to cease from his struggles and just yield to the rescuer, we was to pop him upside the head, cold cock him. Wham! Knock him out if possible. Otherwise, you're not going to save him. He'll drown both of you. Let me tell you, I hurt talking to people who know they're sinners, who know there's a hell, knows there's a heaven, but have never come to the place where they totally rested in Christ for Jesus to save them. What a terrible, terrible situation. Jesus is our rescuer. The sinner must put his faith and trust totally in Jesus. When we stand before Him, we're not going to have to say, well, Lord, you started the salvation off and I finished it. No. Lord, you almost paid for it all and then I had to pay for the rest. No, no, no. The songwriter was right when he said, "We'll stand before him saying, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Rest in Jesus for your salvation. No one will ever know peace. They'll never know assurance until we cease our struggles and come to rest totally in the finished work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. If God, who planned our salvation, and Jesus, who purchased our salvation, and the Holy Spirit, who convicts us and births us into the family of God, if these three cannot complete what they have promised, then there's no hope for anyone. Period. I've chosen to believe God. I've chosen to believe the Word of God. I've chosen to come to the place where I put my trust in Christ alone for my salvation. I rest in Him. When I stand before God in heaven, I'll have to honestly say to Him, my salvation is none of my doing, but all of Christ. I owe it all to Him. The only thing I have, only part of salvation connected with me, is I had to acknowledge that I was a sinner and put my trust in Him, coming to rest in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Christian is to rest in the Lord through the storms and the struggles of life. The Christian has got to come to that place where we rest in the Lord through our storms and struggles of life. I really believe Romans 8:28 means what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His purpose. His purpose. You do understand He has a purpose in your life. And He's trying to get us from where we are right now to where He wants us to be in His plan, in His purpose, and in His will for our life. Some of us, as we move along, we kick and fuss and fight and rebel and resist what God's trying to do to us and for us. But we've got to learn to trust Him and rest in the Lord when we face storms and struggles in our life. And may I say, first of all, we're to rest in Christ when Satan attacks. I mean, the preacher's not our refuge. To run into a church building is not our source of refuge. Our refuge in time of storm is the Lord. We're to rest in Him. We're to depend upon Him. In the story of Job, we see a child of God under attack by the devil. Job was the best Christian in all the land. God Himself said so, yet Satan attacked him. Under Satan's attack, Job lost his children to death. He lost his riches, they were taken from him. He lost his health. And the Bible says of Job, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In fact, Job said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know what Job was doing? Through his struggles and storms, he was resting in the Lord. No, he didn't understand it. Yes, it hurt. Yes, he grieved over his children. Yes, he did not enjoy the loss of all of his wealth and security on this earth. Yes, he dealt with all of that. But he said, I'm trusting Him. For I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Job was resting in the Lord. And God wants us to come to that place where when we find ourselves in the midst of storms and struggles, we're able to put ourselves totally in His hands and know that what He's trying to accomplish in our life is for our good and His glory. Rest in the Lord. Polycarp, an early Christian, when brought before the enemies of Christianity, was told to recant his faith in Christ or die. And he said, and I paraphrase what he said, he said, for all these years He's done me nothing but good. How can I turn my back on my Lord now? He was put to death, and though he was put to death under Satan's attack, he was resting in the Lord. He was resting in the Lord. So we're to rest in the Lord when Satan attacks. Hey, Satan ever attack you? I don't know how he can, since he spends a lot of time on me. Does he ever bother you? Yes, he does. If you're a Christian trying to live for God, he does. And by the way, if you say, oh, Satan hadn't bothered me in a long time, you're so far out of God's will, he don't have to bother with you. The more you try to live for God and do for God, the more Satan's going to attack. But when he attacks, our refuge is Jesus. Our refuge is the Lord. And we've got to learn to rest in the Lord. We're to rest in the Lord when we face the trials of our faith. Your faith is going to be tried. Some of you made commitments in faith promise for the first time. It's not going to be 2 weeks into your faith promise program of giving that you're going to be tested. You're going to find out whether or not you really do trust God, or you trust only your pocketbook and your ability to earn. I told you, the problems with missions giving being down is not the poor economy, it's our poor faith. We've got to come to the place where we trust Him. He did say, give and trust Him to give it back. Give and it shall be given unto you. We want to change it. We don't want to operate on faith. We don't want to rest in the Lord. We want to operate by saying, God, if You'll give it to me, I'll give You some of it. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. A preacher friend of mine said, when we're going through the storms of life and the trials of our faith, we should never ask, what is God doing to me? But rather we should ask, what is God doing for me? Oh, that's a wonderful statement. When God allows fiery trials to come into our life, they're allowed for our good and for His glory, whether they are to prove us or to prune us, whether they're to purify us or to chasten us. What He's doing not to us, but for us. We must believe that whatever God is allowing to happen in my life is for our good, for my good, and for His glory. And it's important that each of us learn to rest in the Lord through the fiery trials. Peter said there's going to come on us like they came on them. Going through fiery trials. I was thinking today about some of these Old Testament saints listed in Hebrews 11. You read about them and their faith. We have trouble living for God today, and we have it so much easier than they had. We've got to learn to rest in Him. We must learn to rest in our Lord even when we go through difficulties brought on by our own foolishness and failures, by our own actions. Have you ever been there? My wife has reminded me on numerous occasions that's where I'm at. Have you ever gone through the struggles and the trials and the difficulties of life because of your own foolishness? your own rebellious spirit, your own foolish doings. And here you are suffering, wife is suffering, family is suffering. And it's brought on by our own actions. What do you do? Acknowledge your sin to God. Turn your life over to Him. Learn the lesson He's trying to teach you. And rest in Him. Trust Him. You know, God is not our enemy. He wants far more from us and for us than we're willing to take or yield to. The all things of Romans 8:28 means all things. For we know that all things work together for good. Even the dumb things, the foolish things, the rotten things we've done in the flesh and outside of God's will. Our God is a good God. He cannot do evil or wrong. He does not try to get even with us or to do harm to His children. Whatever we're going through in our life, even though it's brought on by our ignorance or stupidity or rebellion, God will deal with our heart, and if we'll yield to Him, He'll mix His grace and love and mercy into it and ultimately turn it around for our good and His glory. If we'll learn to get right about sin and rest in Christ, yield to Him. Our God's a teaching God. He's going to use every opportunity in our life to teach us and to grow us and to conform us into His image. He'll keep turning on the heat and up the heat until He can see His image reflecting in us. Over in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, He talks about the Word of God being refined and purified as silver, purified seven times. They take the silver ore and put it into the vat and turn the heat up. And that silver ore will begin to melt at a certain temperature. And the refiner will look there into the vat, and he'll keep turning the temperature up until that ore melts and the silver runs together and the dross can be pushed aside, and he can look and see his reflection in the silver. That's what God's trying to do in our life. That's the reason He puts us in the furnace and He keeps turning up the heat. He's trying to burn off the dross and get the dross out of the way so He can see His reflection in a purified life. No, instead of fighting against God when we're going through struggles and heartaches and burdens and needs and tears and sorrows, quit fighting God. Learn to rest in the Lord. He wants to do nothing but good for you and in you. And He's just trying to get the world burnt out so He can see His image in your life and in mine. Rest in the Lord. We must learn to rest in the Lord through the times of sorrow and suffering. You're going to go through times of sorrow and suffering. And sometimes the sorrow and suffering are because of mistakes of others that bring this on in your life. What do we do? What do we do when we face ourselves in times of sorrow and suffering? And it's been brought onto our life because of somebody else and their foolish actions, their gossip, their actions, their talk. What do? Get angry? No, he tells us to cease from anger. That's not going to get us anywhere with God. What do? Find them and whoop them? No, that's not going to help us in our Christian life. What do? Learn to let God fight those battles. Give it over to Him and rest in the Lord. Even in times when your heart's breaking, you're in sorrow, you're going through, you're suffering beyond your ability to describe it. Rest in the Lord. Now, to the flesh, it may feel good if you'll bend them over and kick them, but it's not going to help you. It's just going to make the flesh stronger and make your suffering and sorrowing greater. Learn to trust Him. Learn to let Him fight those battles. You know, people are prone to mistakes, aren't they? We are prone to let our mouth speak before our mind gets in gear. And since you've been guilty of it, won't you give a little space to those that are guilty of it against you and trust God to work it out? Won't you forgive them? That would be a great way to start, wouldn't it? And rest in the Lord to fight that battle and take care of it for you. You know, we have a God that's bigger than we are and bigger than our problems and bigger than anything you can imagine. We're just not depending on Him. We're trying to do things for ourselves that God says, rest in me. I'll do it for you. I'll take care of it for you. Rest in me. I've already done it. I've already won the victory for you. Just trust me. Just trust me. You know, there are not human answers here in this life to all the things that happens to the child of God. But this I know, God knows what I don't know. He sees around the corner and over the hills of our life. He sees what we cannot see in our life on earth. We ask, why, Lord? And many will grow angry and bitter. And they'll fail miserably in the will of God and the plan of God for their life. May God help us to learn to trust Him and rest in the Lord. Then may I say tonight, we must rest in the Lord concerning our future. We must rest in the Lord concerning our future. Too many people think their future's in their own hands and they try to manipulate themselves and their way through life. Backstabbing, taking advantage of others instead of realizing the Lord is the one that has the ability to really promote you when it matters. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord in regard and concerning our future. My life is about to change. After 46 years of full-time ministry, I can look down the road to a few months to a date we've set to officially retire as a pastor. Our income level will change. Our lifestyle will change. Say, preacher, how are you going to make it? I don't know. I'm resting in Him. I'm going to trust Him. Oh, yes, I've made some preparation. But I want you to know what I've done is not going to be enough without God's intervention. So I'm trusting in Him. It's kind of like a person on fixed income today. It's kind of like our senior saints who are living on Social Security and our president wants to make health care available for 30-some-odd million people who don't have it and are illegal and can't get it. And he's going to do it by cutting $50 billion off of Medicare. Take it away from the seniors that have lived and served and paid into it all of these years. Now, I could get upset about that. It means more to me right now than it's ever meant in my life. But I won't even take a half a baby aspirin tonight and go to bed, work, because I'm worrying about it. So what are you going to do? I'm going to rest in the Lord. Man, He's brought me this far. The government's not my source of supply. My job is not my source of supply. The churches I preach in are not my source of supply. God is my source of supply. So I'm just going to rest in Him. I'm going to do right. Keep on serving Him. Keep on preaching. Keep on living for Him. Keep on giving. Obeying Him with my life. And let my future be up to Him. I kind of think that if He can care for 3 million Jews in a desert, where they have no food except what God gives them, no water except what God provides for them, God can take care of this preacher in America. I kind of believe that. So I'm just going to rest in Him. I'm not going to worry about my future in this life. I'm going to just keep on doing right and serving God and trust Him. And when it comes to my eternity, I'm resting in the Lord concerning that future. I don't go to bed at night fretting over whether I'm going to heaven or hell. That's settled. I'm resting in Christ. I've put my faith and trust in Jesus as my Savior. My future in this life and my eternal life is in His hands. I believe His promises. I believe Him when He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." I believe Him when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also." I believe God when He said in Romans 8:1, to children of God, saved people, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I believe God. I don't believe I have to worry about hell or heaven. It's settled because I've put my faith in Christ and I'm resting in Him. My future's secure. My future's settled. I don't go to bed at night or sit in church on Sundays and live in fear and uncertainty about my eternal home. I do not wonder, will I go to heaven or hell? I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. My eternal destiny is out of my hands, and there it's in His hands. He's done for me what I could never have done. And I'm resting in the Lord for my eternal future. Are you? One last thing, and I'll be through. My resting in the Lord is dependent upon my faith in God and submission to Him. You say, how do I rest? Believe His promise. Have faith in God. There's an old song we used to sing when I was a boy. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Say, how do I get this sense of resting in the Lord? Believe Him. Trust Him. Obey Him. Our faith and submission to Christ does not eliminate God's penalty against our sin. However, it does put our sins upon Christ, and He delivers us from the penalty of sin by putting all of our sin and penalty on Christ so we could rest in Jesus Christ. Our faith and submission to Christ does not eliminate the storms of life. However, they make it possible for the child of God to go safely through the storms while resting in the Lord. Our faith and submission does not eliminate the fiery trials we must go through. However, they make it possible for the Christian to successfully go through the trials and to come out through them, shining forth the image of Jesus Christ in our life. Our faith and submission to Christ does not promise that we'll never go through sorrow our suffering. But it makes it possible for us to trust Him and rest in Him and know that what He's allowing to happen is for us and not to us. What a wonderful place to grow to that place where you believe Him. God said it, that settled it. I can rest in the Lord. I can put my trust in Him. Now, you can't rest in the Lord for your salvation if you've never asked Him to be your Savior. You're not going to rest in the Lord in these other areas unless you've learned to trust Him by faith and submit yourself to His will. If you haven't, you're going to go through those times alone. You're not going to get the benefit. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be stronger. You're not going to shine forth in His likeness unless you learn to trust Him and submit to His will. It's a wonderful thing when you find yourself in the storm or the fires or the sickness or the sorrow, or the suffering, to say, Lord, I may not understand it, but I yield totally to You. Do Your work well so that I can come through this for Your glory and for Your honor. Resting in the Lord. Are you there yet? Why not? Maybe you need to take that step where you quit arguing with God and battling with God over His Word and His promises and His commands. Isn't it amazing how we want to claim His promises but ignore His commands? And the truth is, if we don't learn to obey His commands, we will never claim His promises either. Faith and submission to the Lord makes it possible for us to rest in the Lord. Father, take the message tonight and use it to help us and strengthen us. Lord, there's so many things going on in lives of people that we don't have the wisdom and understanding to give the answer to all of these problems. But we know the One who does know. We know the One who has the answer. We understand the One that can take us through the trials. We do know You, and You know Your will and purpose in our life, and You're not trying to get even. You're not trying to hurt us. You're not trying to be mean to us. You're trying to do something for us that will help us to grow and be stronger and become the kind of servant that honors You with our life and reflects Your image in a world that desperately needs to see Jesus. And the truth is, if the unsaved world can't see Jesus in us, they're not going to see it anywhere. They're not going to see You anywhere in this world. So help us, Lord God, to go through our sorrows, our struggles, our testings, our trials, Satan's attack, and whatever else it may be. Let us learn to rest in You so You can get the maximum benefit for us out of what we're going through at that time. Help us now in Jesus' name, we ask it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. We'll begin to sing an invitation song. While we're here at the altars, while we're here standing, let's take advantage of the altar. Many have already come. Many have already knelt. Many have already been doing business with the Lord. So can you. God loves you. He cares about you tonight. Why don't you come? If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, why don't you come tonight and put your trust in Him. Quit struggling and fighting it. Yield to Him totally. Let Him do the saving. By the way, why don't you yield to His will? Quit fighting that. I shall come forth as gold. You know, I want to thank